Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Chelly.
January 3, 2023, allegedly. According to that thing, we call a calendar, and this indeed is the show you were looking for. How do I know this? Because you're hearing me say what I'm saying. Anyway, testing out my audio here as I go live. My mic is a little hot, so I'm going to bring it down a touch, see what we can do there. But this is an interesting Tuesday, and the first broadcast of the alleged year. Although, again, alleged. Is it actually the year? Does anybody know how to tell time? Does this sound familiar to you? If it does, you might have heard a show called O'Chelly in the Greek. You might have heard Greek speak before in other places. And you might say to yourself, what is he talking about, if you haven't? I got the Greek with me tonight, and I'll tell you, we did this little thing called O'Chelly in the Greek, and recently, I've had a bunch of people looking for it, because I had my YouTube channel taken away, and somebody else who was posting and reposting some of those old shows apparently had their YouTube channel taken away, and I don't think it's because of the Greek. But just so happens, if you're trying to, you know, speak anything outside of the normal gibberish, and you're going to try and communicate something that might be meaningful, tends to not make you very popular on the popular platforms. Just saying. But anyway, the Greek is with me, and when we started O'Chelly in the Greek, I got to say, I started on the premise of, you know, Greek. There was this issue I have where communication has gone bad. And immediately, what did we have to talk about? Well, cosmic censorship. What does that mean? And by the way, I do have all the O'Chelly and the Greek stuff in the archive at O'Chelly.com. But it used to be out there in a lot of places that, well, it's kind of disappeared. So we're gonna get it back out there somewhere, sometime. And I might make my entire archive available for sale at some point. But until then, guess what? Let's get an update, because that was, let me think now, almost 8 years ago when you and I did that for the first time, because somebody made a suggestion that it might be a good idea for you and I to talk. That was Danny Romero. Credit where credit is deserved.
Oh, really? When did you speak to Danny last? Tell him I said hello.
Oh, I haven't spoken to Danny in years, but
oh, okay.
Back in 2015, I think it was, he said, you know, there's this guy, and I had not heard you before. And he said, there's this guy, and he started to tell me some of the things you said. And I said, oh, that sounds like interesting, new, and relevant information. Let's get to it. I mean, that's usually right. My attitude. But anyway.
Well, Danny, just a little blast from the past. Hello, everyone, by the way. Vinny Eastwood was going on, he's still around, I think.
Yes.
Somehow, round or whatever shape you want to call him. And, he was going on a 1 month hiatus, and Danny said, did I want to do it for a month? I said, no, there's no reason. I'm interested in basically talking politics and things like that. So, a couple of weeks went by. I said, wait a second. Let me see what asshole took over that role. So I check in and I hear you, and I said, wow, this guy's got a pretty, good voice, more of a dominant tone that you normally hear on the alternative scene. So I reached out to you and I said, hey, you know, I was supposed to do that job. And then we got to talking, and, Danny said, why don't you two guys do something? And, there we are. Right. There we were, and here we are.
Right. And then after that, you had, Uncommon Radio, with Seth. And, you know, a complaint came to me recently that there was an archive that contained O'Chelly and the Greek, Uncommon Radio, and, some other show, I guess you were doing, where you were putting out, you know, effectively.
No shows. Hold it. No, I don't do shows.
Excuse me.
That's for other people. Okay. Yeah, I do Sonic Events.
Sonic Events. Thank you. You know, I forget my Greek speak a little bit because you.
No, that's fine. That's fine. There's a clear distinction. It's beyond definition. Actually, you know, definitions and the way we use words has an effect on the mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's also like a filter. It's also a form of coding. It's a form of basic overall criteria under the category you mentioned earlier, communication. Yeah. I want to get into all that maybe when we start rolling into this, because I don't think I've explained the filter and other things and the effects on the mind, but and the code. So we'll maybe get into it.
No, love.
But go ahead. Yeah, you're giving a little history there, which is good. And you know, this is planet Earth, right? So if you've been here for more than 15 minutes, you should know what's going on. It's not that complicated, right?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely true. And I think we started to disturb people with terms like the dummy load and stuff like that. But again, people would
Disturbing the disturbed, you mean?
Of course.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, you would take that term and they would take it to be offensive immediately without actually listening to what it is you were talking about, which is what? Par for the course, normal, I guess, here on planet Earth. Because no matter what you communicate, and sadly, I'm coming to this conclusion lately, and I even related to you, that after, you know, a decade, basically, of doing this pretty much nonstop, I'm starting to feel like, you know, I'm not reaching those that I used to reach, right?
Well, you're giving it away. Like, in other words, I would take any criticism on this comment I'm about to make, but... If you, in other words, this is the criticism that we might get. Every Ocelli, ONG, let's call it ONG, episode that we did, every Sonic event, about 2 hours, was sort of topical. Not really, you know, but yeah, it had a topic. And whatever topic we covered in those 2 hours gave you more usable information than a 4-year college degree mm-hmm. on that subject.
Right.
So if you're dropping, you know, you know, all college degrees are BS, by the way. Get it?
Of course.
you know, you're giving it away, and it can't be worth much. But those there, look, 0.001% of the people out there are really people. I think we talked about it. The rest of them are products of each age that they're living in. You know, like, well, we went through the industrial age, space age, technology age, information age. That's what I mean by age, each generation. And when you take into account that most people are basically as seen on TV people, if, in other words, when they engage with others or socially, their responses and their thought patterns are based on what they've seen on television, right?
Okay.
So you're looking at this particular slice of humanity that's been affected, corrupted, however you want to say, each generation. And by the way, you can have someone who's 50 or 60 years old that's got two or three of those, you know, grew up with TV in the 60s, then the 70s, 80s, 90s, and then now, and has got four slices in there. But, you know, so it's not very good. But, we do have a lot more freedom. The one thing that I wanted to also impart without saying it, and I'll say it now, is that we are a hell of a lot more free than we're told that we are, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the proofs of that is the ONG episodes and how long they were up on that disgusting YouTube platform. And I've said earlier, by the way, years ago, I will never do a YouTube. Or, you know, any of my stuff, the Sonic event shows up, on YouTube, it's not because I put it up, right?
Right.
And I've kept to it till this day. And I've seen a lot of people prosper financially and popularity with it, and more power to them.
No, look, and I never prospered from it financially because I just put it out there, right?
You got to run with the scissors.
Yeah, I mean, I made it.
You got to run with the scissors. You got to be reckless. In other words, you know. You're not going to do well in these mainstream platforms. You know what I mean? We'll talk about that maybe some other time. But recklessness and reckless, but not abandoned. Abandonment recklessness without abandonment. In other words, you have to take responsibility for your recklessness. Kind of like the Alex Jones guy.
Yeah, and you also got to make sure that look, you're actually paid and protected by somebody whose interests are met by you doing what you do. That's always helpful, and unfortunately, I'm independent, so.
Yeah, but we all are protected. That's the other thing. Non-materially.
See, now we're getting deep already, and by the way, just in my chat room, they have asked actually what day it is, and it's funny because I answered, a chatter answered, and meanwhile, we didn't answer with the correct day. So,
here's the thing. There is no truth. It's all subjective. Because when you're dead, what's true and not doesn't matter, right? So when you're alive, you can't prove that you're alive other than moving around like a fish in a, you know, whatever, out of water sometimes. But it's a matter of if everything is subjective and there is no truth, as one would say, mm-hmm. right? Because people lay down their lives for, you know, going to war, thinking that why they're going to war is the truth, and it's obviously false, right? So if you have people laying their lives down for lies, what would someone do for the truth? So, you know, anyway. But what I'm trying to say here is very simple. And we can't prove objectively what's absolutely true or real. But we can actually approach more than subjective and mostly objective, show qualitative differences. This is a higher quality than this is, right? Mm-hmm. Right? So, you know, even people who are not well cultured or exposed to much, you give them something that's a piece of junk and the same thing that's of fine manufacture, they could tell the difference, right? Even the most dimwit, halfwit.
Normally,
so
yes.
Would notice that. So what the Greeks speak, sonic events are about, is a qualitative influence, giving the people listening the perceptible choice to make a better quality decisions. Mm. So in terms of time, okay, if you're on the Pope's work schedule and the wind-up toy known as the clock or digital part, whatever, however you want to express that, nothing else in your reality other than some loose social format of, you know, the Pope's work schedule, like when you go to work and when you do certain things and meetings, nothing works on that. Nothing in nature, not even the weather, the bugs, the bees, the animals, nothing works on that at all, right? So if nothing in the natural world that pertains to your well-being, by the way, works on that, wouldn't you want to find out what does? And that's why you would probably consider what I call lawful timekeeping. And that's what lawful just means.
Well, lawful also has a little something to do with logic, because let's just objectively face this fact. Your day, according to the normal convention, right, about when the day begins and ends, wherever you are, it begins in the midst of the darkest time of the day. So your day doesn't begin with a marker like, say, when the light arrives, right?
So it's just, okay, yeah. Hold on. This is again going to what we were saying earlier, going deep. Mm-hmm. You hear about ancient texts speak, I'm not just the Buddhist Daku or anything like that, you know, meaning the despair. Mm. Not just that, but ancient texts talking about being in the light and being in the dark, right? Okay, that's not physical, just physical. It's also where things are sourced from. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've heard me say this before. I'll recap real quick. In ancient societies, most ancient societies, everything that you did, used and based your life on was sourced in the light. All the materials you used were garnered from plants, plant dyes, resins, things that grew in the light. You know, animal skins, right? If you did any mining, it was usually surface stuff or on a natural cave. You didn't blast the side of a mountain in half, right? Mm. Okay, your oil was gotten from things formed in the light. Your timekeeping was in the light. So the day started at high noon. The new moon was the full moon, right? The beginning of the year is when the, you know, everything equalized, and the end of the year is when everything equalized again. Mm-hmm. Kind of like a racetrack. So if you look at what's going on now with this society, mm-hmm. everything that you've come in touch with materially has some form of petroleum product in it, right?
Right.
Think about it.
No, pretty much everything around
if
you.
Even if you ran out into the street naked, guess what you're standing on? Asphalt, right?
Right.
Okay, so where's petroleum formed? Right? In the dark, and the light destroys it, right?
True enough.
And mm-hmm. breaks it down. When do you start your day? In the dark. Mm-hmm. When do you start your year? In the dark. Very dark society.
Right.
See? So, no, I'm not going to give what day it is. No, I'm not. Because that should have been established already by more than just me, even the ones listening here. I'm not trying to be an ass here. maybe it should be researched a little bit further and find out what you think should be, not you, Chuck, but whoever's asking or listening to this, what is lawful timekeeping. And by the way, what I just mentioned, lawful timekeeping, is mentioned in every astronomy 101 class in college, by the way. Mm-hmm. They do go into that. It's only 5 minutes for the entire 4 years of college. But it's, you know, how much time does it, right? You don't need to, right? So, spend much time on it because it's not important.
And as usual, it's, you know, what do they spend time with? Usually what is legal as opposed to what is lawful. And
right.
That's what
Which
the
is commercial.
Yes.
Legal is commercial.
Right.
Like I've been speaking, well, when I run into people out in public and I know a conversation's going to ensue, I say, well, how long have you been on Earth for? And if they don't understand the question or don't give me a positive response, I know I'm dealing with a moron, which is, and I'm saying that affectionately, right? Mm. So if you, right? So now you have to go into that mode, which is different than a mode when you're teaching a child, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you open a toolbox and you see there's only a screwdriver there. Well, that screwdriver is going to have to become multi-use now, right?
Oh, right. You'll have to wind
because
it
you only have one tool. Now, if you open the toolbox and there's 100 tools in there, well, you'll see you've got a big screwdriver, a small screwdriver. You know, for a big screw, a small screw, you got to, right. But if you only have a butter knife or a screwdriver, well, you're going to have to use that for everything. You know, you could use the back of a screwdriver to make a small hammer, right, to tap something down.
Exactly.
Where if you had a hammer, you wouldn't do that. So, you know, once you start dealing with these typical surface-dwelling earth inhabitant, by the way, that's another part of Greek speak, right?
Yes.
So calling them people is actually more than most deserve. But anyway, and I'm saying all these things affectionately, mm-hmm. And from a higher perspective, not that I'm higher, but from a higher vantage point, right?
Right.
So, you know, I've given that idea of wasting time, you know, when you're on the ground and a 4-hour parade is passing by, you have to spend 4 hours looking at it to figure out, you know, jot down what everything you saw. But if you're in a helicopter, you know, 1,000 feet up, you could see the whole parade and you could quickly write down everything that's down there, come back down, right, and spend the other 3 hours and 50 minutes doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
That's also the purpose of Greek speak, to give a higher vantage point. It saves a lot of time. So anyway, back to the meeting people. How long have you been on Earth? Because I just mentioned earlier, if you've been on Earth more than 15 minutes, you know what's going on here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of facetious, but typically, you know, if you're talking to a species where their 8-year-olds exceed the educational capacity of someone with 5 PhDs on Earth, they would get it right away. They, in other words, they would know based on what's called a travel guide, or in the military, there's a book for it. In other words, when they're sending someone in the military to a foreign country, they give them a book with all the cultures and laws, so when they go there, they don't create an offense, right?
Right.
International incident or something. An area book, it's called. Mm. So the area book for the Earth and the travel guide is very, very simple. Don't talk to any of the surface-dwelling Earth inhabitants simply because anything you say will confuse the shit out of them.
Mm.
Right? And that's from a higher quality perspective, you know, if you're a quality, you know, based-minded being. So it's pretty sad, but then again, you only got to put up with it for what? 50 years, 60, 70, 80, 90? Well, what are you going to think? You're going to live to 120? More power to you.
Right.
That's all you got. You don't have to put up with it for too long.
No, fair enough. And I mean, look, I try to do certain things regarding this. And the communication issue that, again, I started with was, well, it's interesting because you attempt to adapt to the language of the natives, which is a fair and good thing to do, so that you might be able to communicate with them, right? Stop me where I'm wrong, but when you do that, it's fascinating to me that even when you make the best effort to comprehend their language and use it so that you can communicate ideas to them. Quite often, it becomes a fruitless thing because even though you properly communicated an idea, it simply doesn't seem to be received.
They can't handle that. They're bred on ideologies, narratives, and opinion.
Right.
Ideas don't work with these the beings here. Very rare. And here's, maybe some people might be scratching their heads. Why is this guy so bitter about this? Look, if you feel like you've partitioned yourself enough to go along with what I'm saying, you're not going to meet anyone else like yourself. Mm. You're spread out, right? The reason why this is done cosmically is because if you get like 5 or 6 or 10 people that are mostly on the ball with what's going on and how to operate lawfully, you know what's going to happen, right? It's going to create a too much of a focus. It'd be no different than if, a 300-foot diameter, shiny, mirror-finished UFO landed in Walmart parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It'd be no different than this. Like if you had a spiritually evolved being, I'm not saying I'm spiritually evolved, but I'm saying if my pursuits tend to be, spiritually involved, I pursue those things evolved. If you had a spiritually evolved being and you put him in the middle of the, Super Bowl halftime field, I assure you about one third to one half of the people would want to come down off the stands and beat that person to a pulp. And if you ask them, why do you want to do that? They say, I don't know. I hate this guy. I just got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So here, they tell you go to college and get an education. There's no education in college, zero at all. And if you think there is, you need to do a little mental floss, a little cleanup and wash your brain a little bit.
Might help you.
At all. There's no education whatsoever. Very easy. Just look at their curriculums and textbooks. What they're doing there, is it's a rite of passage. Just as, for example, in certain countries, it's the mandatory military, right? You're 18 or whatever, you gotta do a year and a half, right? In the military or whatever. It's a rite of passage in certain tribal cultures. You had to go out and slay your first, whatever, animal, right?
Right.
Not until you did that, you were not considered a man or a viable member of society.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. And to prove that is whenever you have any kind of a cultural medium, film, TV, books, stories put out, the intellectuals are always shunned. They're called eggheads, and the eggheads came from Germany in the 1930s when they were going after the intellectuals, and they would go beat them up, and the guys, the thugs would come back and say, how'd it go? He says, oh, they're like eggheads. When you throw them on the sidewalk, their head cracks open like an egg, right? That's where it comes from.
Mm.
Or you had Revenge of the Nerds, right? They always portrayed as a nerd, even today, a geek or a nerd, right? Mm-hmm. Bad, that never gets the girl, always gets beat up, doesn't do anything, right? So the intellectuals, by the way, again, I'm not saying that I'm part of that. This is just an observation.
Mm-hmm.
You live in a society where people who want to advance themselves cognitively, mentally, intellectually are shunned.
Right.
And viewed as negative. But, on the other hand, you have higher learning institutions. Yeah, right. Sure you do. You see how it works? It's very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's go on. The communication part...
Well, if you don't mind, I find that part fascinating because, right, I do not possess any of these degrees. And on occasion... I attempt, and I must say attempt, because it has varying degrees of success. I attempt to communicate certain things which are scientific, which are about, the preservation of actual pieces of history. And I communicate these things, and quite often, regardless of the quality of the presentation, the information, it's got nothing to do with me. But I mean, the actual information, the documentation, whatever. It becomes irrelevant because why? I don't have one of these degrees. I don't have the permission slip from...
Well, the degree, it's more of a rite of passage, like someone who killed the biggest lion. He could be a total, whatever, halfwit, right?
Right.
And he's regarded for the rest of his life as, the lion slayer, right? Because he slayed the biggest lion or whatever, the giant slayer or whatever, right? Caught the biggest bug,
okay.
Right? So it's just a rite of passage. That's all. It's but anyway, maybe I lean too heavy on the higher education part. But it has nothing that there is no you live in a society, this society is completely fake, meaning that people have no sense of origin. Their history is completely fake. Mm-hmm. Their money is fake. You know, it's based on credit, which is not money. Their religions are all fake. Their philosophies are twisted and turned. Most of the medical technologies and medical industry is fake. Mm-hmm. I think we've gone over that. And by the way, I think we did, the second one we did was called The Container. And then I included in many other Sonic events. If you've listened to Ocelli in the Greek, you've been forewarned about what's been going on for the past 2 years and what's really going on. And by the way, what, even though it didn't maybe seem like it was relevant, what's going to be, what's starting to happen in the past, let's say, month or two, and going to continue for the next year, is really going to validate it even more, meaning all the fakery. Right? But it's not going to be enough because, you know, there is no blood pressure. The pump doesn't, the heart is not a pump.
Right.
Right? You don't absorb, anything through your intestines or your skin, the way that, yeah, the brain, all these things. So that won't happen until the next society, you know, is formed, which is not going to be for a while. Because when the mop up crew comes here, you're going to have anywhere between four, well, it's going to be a 40-year period, a 70-year period, and a 120-year period of dark ages kind of thing. So enjoy yourself right now while you still got it.
Well, and what's interesting about time and the time in which we find ourselves currently is that it is a bit different from that, you know, again, using the conveyance of the, you know, the communicative tool of the calendar, right? The 2015 time period is different than it is now. And I note the change in communication where it's become, in some ways, it's become a little easier to communicate. And in other ways, it's become even more difficult, even more distortion, even more of a disconnect. Regardless of the attempt, as I said before, to try and utilize the language of the natives, right? Their, you know, conventions even, you try and communicate, and it is still a problem. But mm-hmm. It's a different problem.
I don't
problem.
See it that way, sorry, because when you're dealing with the natives, it should have purpose. Even if you're going out there to find a wife or a husband or something intimate, it still should have purpose to it. I think I've given this before, example. An acquaintance, somebody that considers himself a friend to the Greek, calls and he says, I want to come by. And, you know, he's on his cell phone driving around. And I said, I'm not too far away from you. I said, why do you want to come by? He says, I want to say hello. I said, well, you just did on the phone.
Right.
Let's have some more purpose. And I said, look, here's an example. I said, look, if you say, I already did say hello, but I want to come by and give you a hug so you feel loved. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. There's no substitute for that.
And there's a purpose which actually requires physical presence as opposed to what they just did, which is I just said hello over the phone.
Right, right. So in other words, develop the purpose first, right?
Okay.
You know, and then execute it. And it's like that with anything. And once you understand this, you know, you can pretty much do anything here, but then you have to, again, do it with purpose. You know, anything can be accomplished to a certain degree. I always have discussions with people, you know, regarding business models. You know, when they look at these billionaires or millionaires, I've met quite a few of the billionaires with a B, and, they don't even know how they got there. Right. Don't believe any of their stories. All that was predetermined. It is a big conspiracy, cosmic one and earth-based one, but not on the surface. But what you see on the surface is all, you know, strings being pulled. Go ahead and try to start an Amazon or a Twitter or one of these cryptocurrencies, I call them, or whatever. It's not going to happen. All these stories are fake. Every single, there are no self-made people. It is all predetermined before birth even, both cosmically and physically. You can't, but I can give many examples where like people wanted to start like a little UPS store or whatever. Right. By the time they got up to their second or third business, the IRS and the FBI crashed them and after they crashed their business, they apologized. You know, it's like, no, you're not allowed to do that. Go ahead and try to start an electric motor company on your own. Right. Not going to happen. Well, all that stuff is all, it's all predetermined. It's already scripted. See, you know, now, they just put whatever character up there, you know, that you think, whatever, is successful.
Cutting to a strange chase on that, right? Cutting to a strange chase on that, one could say that what you're telling me is that the Calvinistic concept, that the only people that are successful have already been, now this gets a little touchy, but have already been determined by God to be blessed with that. That's what they're supposed to
be. No, more than that. More meaning physical here. It's already been planned here. By people that have been executing stuff on the planet. It is a conspiracy, but it's so big you can't see it, right? It's kind of like, you know, the flat earth thing, you live under a dome. Yeah, that's possible. If the dome is so big, you don't notice it, right? Right?
Well, it's
the whole solar system could be inside of one of those little snow globes, and you know, it's so big, right? It's beyond your ability to, first of all, cognitively grasp it, second of all, perceive it, and third of all, why does it matter? Right?
Well, like no,
African
proverb.
These things are all very, look, here's,
it's very much
and within
like the
that, there's another script. Like, you know, the little, was it, 13-year-old high school girl more than a decade ago that showed all the presidents are related somehow?
Right.
Even though it's, whatever, it's, if even if it's not, you see, so, you see, it's all related. All these figures and people, so when I say you can do pretty much anything, it's within the context of what we've laid out in the past 20 minutes.
Well, right, and here's the thing, like I was trying to get at, the African proverb with the elephant, I think, is very, very relevant, and I brought this up to you before, that, you know, if you're standing right on top of this thing, what is the elephant? The elephant is this giant gray mass that really, you know, if you're right up against it, you're perceiving just the gray skin of said elephant. That's all it is. It's a
well, here's the
mass,
other thing.
Right?
If you respectfully, the better you get to know that elephant, he doesn't seem so big anymore.
Well, that's the other thing.
Because you finesse that. You know, just like, for example, I don't know if you've ever gotten behind the wheel of a semi-truck with a trailer fully loaded. It's, and you know, but there are other, you know, and try to drive it around the block. Someone who's familiar with it, it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do it respectfully. You know, you can't make a right-hand turn on a single side street. You'll take out the front fenders of two cars, right?
Right.
So,
I've just tried to move one of those around on a lot, and it's not easy for me because I'm not accustomed to it at all. But,
right. So you get accustomed to these things, and also you get accustomed to the madness, you know, once you understand it. But you cannot approach things. You have to do it respectfully. Same when you're dealing with the morons on this planet, the surface-dwelling Earth inhabitants. When you have a pretty good comprehension of them, you still have to respect it because they you know, they're stupid people are dangerous, right?
Oh, they certainly are. Yeah.
So again, it goes by really, really as you get older, your perception of time goes by faster. I believe it actually does. It's kind of like a spiral. You know, when something's going down the drain, as it gets towards the center, it goes faster and faster, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm in my sixth decade, right? So I'm like, yeah, I'm getting kind of tired of this stuff here. You know, the stupidity. But it doesn't stop me from it still existing, you know, so, but I know that it's not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be around that long.
Well, relatively speaking, a lot less time ahead of you than in front, you know, than behind you, so to speak.
Hopefully I'm more than 3/4 of the way done with this idiocy.
Well, that's what I'm hoping too. I mean, I've completed 5 decades according to the regular reckoning on the calendar, but yeah, I'm in my 6th decade as well. You and I are pretty close in age.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is it just put up with it. It's not that bad, but it's not good either. Like a lot of people always say to me, Greek, am I wrong? And I say, well, I don't think you're wrong, but you're definitely not right.
Hmm.
Right? So that leaves it open.
Well, that's another thing again, back to that elephant. Now somebody who says this thing is a giant gray thing, they're not wrong, but they're also not right. Because it's not just giant and gray. There's a lot more characteristics.
Well, here's the thing. If you give it a name and you know it has its own personality,
there you
it's just another surface-dwelling Earth inhabitant.
Well, true, but if all
that's
you're
the next
doing...
level. I mean, why do you think people love their pets so much to call them their family? When you get to know animals, you know, it's like you might like to eat chicken, but if you're sort of like a heartfelt human and you raise chickens, you give them names, they answer to their names. They each have different personalities, and you say, you know, after 6 months of raising chickens, you still want to eat chicken? They're like, yeah, but not these guys.
Well, I've got a handful of dogs, you know, in the house right now, right? And in some cultures, they'd certainly eat them.
Yeah. When I see Vietnamese here, I ask them in Vietnamese, I say, An cam tat chao, which means, do you eat dog meat? And most of them, well, I had one of them, my wife being a witness, she says, not here. So he didn't say no.
Right.
It just means not in America.
Anybody get angry at you for that? Or?
A couple of times people just start laughing and they go, no, you know, especially the younger ones.
Right.
But I've said, An cam tat chao, and they say, not here.
Hmm. Well, see, there you go, respecting the custom of the locals, right?
I don't know if we have any Vietnamese speakers in the chat, but...
I do not know. I don't think so, but either way, let's just assume...
Yeah, tentoila, the Greek. But anyway, the whole thing about communication is this. Here, I'll give you a personal story. I was doing Skype groups anywhere from 30 to 40 people, and after, like, two private calls.
Right.
And after about a couple of years, like, you know, I'm not promoting this. I'm not doing a Patreon. I'm not, you know, I'm, you know, doing all this. I'm like...
No,
look at all these people that I'm talking to. None of them can communicate. It just got stagnant. I was like, and I started evaluating, and I was like, oh, the people that I'm attracting can't communicate this. So it's kind of like pissing in a bucket or trying to lift yourself up, and nothing, it's not going to go anywhere. You have to commercialize it based on the venue, right? You get subscribers, you do a membership, right? So then you have, something coming in, like what they call, you know, some intake every month on a regular basis that you could assign.
Yeah.
So you could say, look, I got all these subscribers and Patreon people signed up, getting so much every month. Hey, you know, every month, not, I'm talking donations. Donations don't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a format, a membership or whatever. And this can be assigned. This could be assigned to a publisher, you know, where you have to compensate someone to do graphics, to buy equipment, to further this on, right? And I didn't see any of that going on its own, organically, naturally, right?
Right.
So I said, all right, I'm stopping everything. So I don't do any, you know, try to stay more like in a recluse type of, thing. I still get emails, do you want to do an interview? I'm like, no. I said, why not? I said, you asked me if I want to. I said, no, I don't. What's the purpose of the interview? Right? What's the, and I'm not being a jerk. You know, I'll engage them, but I'll say, no, I'm not going to go out and speak in public. So,
right.
I mean, that's why, you know, when we did the thing here, look, this is more like a Laurel and Hardy, Abbott and Costello thing in a way, because we kept it light.
Right.
Right. And, it's kind of like an unlikely pair. You know, we're unlikely because I looked at your archives, and I don't mean to be pejorative or anything, but it's not any and nothing, none of the hosts and none of the topics or anything I would ever click on. The only, you know, but I have a history with you, and we work well together.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't go around like, you know, when people ask me if you want to do an interview, I look at what hosts they've had and what topics, and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. No, this is completely different. This is something that is on a different, first of all, the Greek speak stuff is extremely rarefied.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's an anomaly because I never speak on anything that's more than 5 feet beyond your reach. In other words, you stick out your arm, that's like 2.5 feet or so, 2 feet, depends if your knuckles drag on the ground, whatever,
right.
And how tall you are. And just a little bit beyond your reach, just half a step forward, you could probably grab a book or a magazine or see something, pull something out of your wallet or look in the mirror, and everything that's encompassed in Greek speak, from the dummy load all the way to the human body and banking and everything about the gods and the ancient texts and all that, is all either you know something about it already, are slightly familiar, or have access to it without any specialized doing any kind of a specialized, let's just say, endeavor.
Mm.
Where you have to buy anything or seek something out. It's always about things that are in your reach or you are have been made aware of.
Right.
Right? You've got to start there. Right? Mm. So, you know, and here's the other thing. All of these things that people talk about politically, you know, with the medical stuff past few years, with the money stuff or whatever, I've had the opportunity, one thing the gods have given me is a lot of access to people.
Mm-hmm.
So when I want to study, let's say, for example, the legal system, believe it or not, within a year and a half, I'm having not one lunch, but two lunches with Supreme Court justices. I'm like, how the hell does this happen? Mm-hmm. How does this even happen? Right?
Right.
John Fitzgerald Malloy. He's the guy who penned the Miranda rights. You know, you have the right to remain silent. That guy. Mm-hmm. Okay? And he doesn't know anything about law. I'm serious.
Right.
Okay? So, and then I'm studying how the police work. Before you know it, I've got like five of them in my backyard because some incident happened across the street and they come over here to set up and I make blueberry pancakes and cowboy coffee for them. And I'm disgusted. They don't know anything about their job at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same with doctors. I'm like, I show them, hey, there's no blood pressure. You know, there's no absorption. Look at this. Look at this. Yeah. I know, but, you know, they don't acknowledge that. I just do what they tell me to do.
Right.
It's like, what the hell is going on? No one knows what the hell they're doing and why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, those people that have taken the professional situations that I just mentioned are sellouts. Because any reasonable human will say, well, I aspire to be a doctor, and I go there, and I don't learn anything about, you know, really what health is about. I think I should quit. And you know why? I'm saying this because there is a very high dropout rate, and they say the high dropout rate in medical education, let's say for example, is a sign of how good or difficult it is. No. It's a sign of only the sane dropout, and the insane and the idiots go in, right? Mm-hmm. The same with the law, the same with all the fields, right? Okay, so the religious especially. Okay, political, there's no, not even, that's just a show.
Right.
So, it's all commercial, by the way. So I started thinking, I said, look, we have a lot more freedom than we're told that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Serious. And you are free to do, as long as, you know, you don't agitate the people around you, pretty much, you know, I'm saying this in a positive way, to improve as much as you'd like, or can afford to, or want to afford to. And that is the purpose of saying what I'm saying. Here, given I'm bouncing all over the place here like a banana in a monkey grove. The other day, I cook with firewood outside, right? Mm-hmm. I just like the way it tastes. And I'm very serious about cooking. I mean, the people have driven hundreds and hundreds of miles so I can make them dinner.
Right.
But anyway, I'm gleaning small branches off of a log. So imagine a log about, however thick. And it's leaning down on the ground, and I'm shaving the branch. I'm holding it down with my left hand, and I'm cutting the twigs off of it, right, with an axe, very sharp axe. Well, the axe slides a little bit too far and goes into my left hand and slices my left thumb in a third, almost in half, from the bottom of the cuticle down to the palm, split open. And I'm like, oh, wow, look, I just split my thumb. And it was kind of serious because my heart rate went up really, and I, like, you know, almost like a slight shock. I did the Greek speak thing, which I've talked about, and what to do, right? And this is about a week ago. It's still, the muscle's trying to grow back and all this stuff, but if I take the bandage off and send a photo, you'll say, I barely see anything there. Barely.
Right.
Right? So most people, what would they do? I gotta go to the emergency room. Stitches, neurosurgery, blah, 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 if you want use of your thumb, right? So you do the Greek speak thing, in 3 days it's pretty much healed. And then about anywhere between 10 to 14 days, the muscle tissue and all that will grow back. What is that worth?
Mm.
Right? By the way, I do have quite a catalog of people emailing. You know, my 9-year-old daughter, you know those security doors? It's like a screen door, but it's made out of wrought iron with a metal screen on the bottom. Sometimes they don't finish them. They're very sharp.
Right.
A 9-year-old girl closes it on her toe, cuts her big toe open. They did the same thing. 3 days later, it's almost completely healed. No stitches. Right. So this is a concept of becoming self-sufficient, you know, how the body really works. You know, we're in a biological vacuum, right? There's no absorption. There's no none of the stuff that they're talking about, right? We've proven that very easily just using their own stuff. So that's just an example, and it goes on and on and on and on and on.
Oh, right.
But all the stuff you have access to. So the communication, first of all, if you are highly skilled in these things that you hear on Greek speak, you're not going to meet either physically or sonically someone else who is also, right?
Mm.
That's a promise actually written in ancient writs.
Hmm.
You're spread like salt, he says. And let's say in the Western scriptures, right, he says, I spread you like salt. What does that mean? Mm. Well, what is salt used for? Flavor. And we know it's in the context of flavor because he says if salt loses its flavor, it has no use. You throw it on the dunghill, right?
Right.
So how do you salt your food? Do you spread it very thinly over so when you every bite you have one little grain? Or do you put a big lump in the middle? And then when you put that lump in your mouth, what do you do?
Oh, you're going to spit it out. Yeah.
Right. So you're going to be spit out. So one aspect for this is extremely rarefied information because it's so practical and true. It's true to the individuals that know how to use it. It's not true if you don't know how to use it. Like for the longest time as a child, walking around in an urban environment, I saw fire extinguishers, mm-hmm. right? You know, you know, from a young child till, you know, young adult, never saw one being used. So whenever I saw a fire extinguisher, I always wondered, okay, there's not much to wonder about. It's a canister, you know, when there's a fire, you grab that thing and you aim it towards the fire, puts the fire out, right? Real mm-hmm. simple, right? Mm-hmm. So I had to believe what they told me about fire extinguishers. Not until, like, I don't know, early 20s, I saw one in use. Mm-hmm. Now I didn't have to believe in it anymore. I saw it in action. You see the difference?
No, true. I recall not seeing one in use till I was about 30, and I had to use it.
But you had to believe that it worked before. It was a belief. Oh,
yeah. Well, that was the thing, is I had
until
to literally respond to a situation where it was like, this is the thing I go to. I went and got it and used it and had to look at it and think about how it works before I utilized it. Even though I was told previous how to use it, I had to think about it for a moment and make sure, okay, what do? I pull this pin out, et cetera, et cetera, right? And then you point the hose and you actually direct this stuff,
yeah.
you know, so on and so forth. And then I also had to deal with the reality of recharging it and refilling it. But
it's the belief. Yeah. If you want to put this society or any society into complete chaos, eliminate their beliefs and have them rely on what they know, because they know nothing.
Hmm.
Give you an example. Do you remember there were, I know Al-Qaeda and ISIS definitely got the stimulus checks, the $600, $1,200 checks from the Treasury. Right?
Oh, sure.
Because
so
they
Jeff,
stopped, yeah.
yeah. So did Jeff Bezos,
I'm not joking.
But yeah, go ahead.
I'm not joking, by the way. There were that. So, I'll give you an example on the idiocy here. So, okay, Chuck, I'm minus a thousand, I'm going to use regular people surface talk here.
Okay.
This is not me speaking, but giving an analogy, a very strong analogy that should make people really see how simple things are regarding money, because most people do things for money and they think things are done for money. I'm going to show you how ridiculous not the system is, because the system has a set of rules. You could look them up, but how ridiculous the population is. Okay, so here's the analogy. Chuck, I have a bank account and it's minus $1,000. Can I write you a check for $100? No.
Oh, I certainly don't want it.
Yeah. Now, if I put $1,000 in there, mm-hmm. can I write a check for $100? No, because it's a zero.
Because now it's
right?
a zero, right.
Yeah, forget about the fees and all the ancillary things that they do. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm at the minus. So if you go to the Treasury website, there are like 23 trillion minus.
Mm-hmm.
Can they write a check for $100?
Well, they shouldn't be able to.
No. This is based on the math and what the Attorney General says and the school economics say and all this. So I'm using the analogy and how they're all fraudulent.
Well, they're still constantly writing the checks.
Right. So if you gave the U.S. Treasury $23 trillion, mm-hmm. can they write a check for $100?
Well,
no.
Not if there were $23 trillion in the arrears
exactly.
to begin
okay,
with.
Okay, so what's going on? What happens is, this is the magic part. This is, they do this because the people allow it. They tell you it's all based, a faith-based money system. That means it's a religion.
Well, in a way, that's accurate, because the fact is that people that have no idea how it works at all.
Well, this is very simple. This is how it works.
Yeah.
When they cut you a check, which is just an instrument, it's a piece of paper.
Mm.
Let's say you go to the mailbox and it's, let's say, $1,000, right?
Mm.
So you get the $1,000 check and you go to the bank. Doo-hoo, I'm going to give the bank, can I deposit this? And they're going to look at it and they're going to say, no, because you have to sign the back first, right? Because there's a signature, an issuing signature on the front. They need an endorsing signature. Actually, in bonds, you can either endorse both signatures on the front. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the moment you sign that, the teller puts that in, and with the comptroller part of the bank, it's 10 to 1. Let's say make it easy. It's not, it's 10 to 1. Becomes 10,000. That instrument becomes $10,000. In exist, you just created $10,000.
Right.
You don't know that. So the, a third of that, well, the, they give you the $1,000. Let's say you want to cash it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've done this before. I go to the, not with the, whether like official check, and I go to the bank, is this good? Can you cash this? And they're like, oh, yeah. It says U.S. Treasury. Yeah, of course. There's nothing there. But anyway, so it creates 10, it's 10 to 1 fractional banking.
Mm-hmm.
So they give you the $1,000, right? And a kick in the ass if you spend too much time there. So the 9,000 that's left over, a third of it goes to the bank, a third of it goes to the government, 3,000. Remember, they just, the cost of, you know,
right,
of the paper, right? And the other third, whatever. You want to figure it out. It goes to the Federal Reserve or whatever trust.
Yeah.
So this is how they're funding their stuff by sending, it's most people, right? They know that if they don't have that, they, you see, that's why they give you utility bill, to make you feel like your paycheck is worth something.
Mm.
If you don't pay the utility bill, you're going to get your water and gas and electric cut off.
Right.
That's bullshit. It's all paid for. The reason they're doing that is to make you feel like what you're working for is worth something.
Mm.
You see? It's all a mind, you know. So anyway, here's the thing. When they want to, when the government wants to fund something, so loose government, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when, anyway, you know what a franchise is. You know, people say I went to Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm like, no, you didn't. And people say I went to Taco Bell. I said, no, you didn't. I went to such and such. No, you didn't. And I said, what do you mean? Why do you keep saying that? What's all these different places?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you say, no, you didn't? I said, because they're all PepsiCo. Right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, the U.S. government doesn't exist. It's part of the, anyway, World Economic, whatever.
It's a franchise of the
fund, IMF. So, yeah. So here's the interesting thing. Whenever they want to fund something, they send checks out to people.
Mm-hmm.
And you think you're getting $1,000. That's why they keep it so low. $1,000 not useful. Like, for example, if you know anyone that lives in Germany,
mm-hmm.
they were, or even Canada, they were getting $2,000 or $3,000 a month, right?
Right, right.
Right. So anyway, so when they want to fund something, they send their subjects checks, and because they need their signatures, they can't create. You need to have the chattel agree to it, right? So, like, if you have a ranch, you want to sell the ranch or sell the cows, you have to be able to put your hands on them. Like, you say, I have 1,000 cattle, and someone buys it. They better, when they come to your ranch, they better be able to put their hands on 1,000 cattle, or you can't have 10 cattle and say I have 1,000, right?
Right?
It's not, the deal won't go through. That's just how that works. The same thing with this financial stuff. You need signatures. So, this is the system that people endorse. And by the way, I usually stop when I, with the analogy of, a minus 1,000 in my bank account, can I write you a check for 100? Right? If you give me 1,000, if I put 1,000 in, can I write you a check for 1,000? The answer, most people say no. So how the hell are they giving you stimulus checks when they're trillions in debt? And then their mind stops because it reaches the end of the road that they've ever been shown exist, right?
Right.
It seems like the rest of the road is an invisible paint. And everything that I've told you, you can look up in their own documentation, right? Modern Money Mechanics, Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago.
Right.
Look it up. So here's the interesting part. The way you make change, the way you make change, you see a lot of social leaders, right? And they usually get dialed lead poisoning, you know what I mean? You know, lead poisoning, right?
Of course.
Lead
yeah.
comes out of a gun, right? Okay. So the reason why they're not successful, the leaders that you've seen through history, civil rights, whatever, is because they're trying to lead a bunch of idiots or morons.
Mm.
And you have to tell them, like, if you give them a broom, they don't know how to sweep. And even if you tell them how to sweep, you have to show them.
Right.
That's what gets the leaders in trouble. So of true leadership, if you had a viable society, would just hint on what to do, and the people would get it and do it without in other words, it would be a leaderless movement. So then who are they going to shoot in the head or strangle or poison? No one, right? They'd have to do, okay, so a worldwide strike situation, mm-hmm. right? And you know what fast trading is like? They could do, what, 1,000 trades a second, right? You've heard that with computers. It's been going on Wall Street for a long time, right? Micro trading or whatever. Okay, the system right now is so reliant on what you do every minute while you're awake that if you had, let's say, a third of the people on the planet just stop using banking, stop using the utilities, don't go to work, don't buy anything, just for 3 days, that would bring the most of the system, the middle part of the system, to its knees, right? Not protesting, you see. This is very simple to do, but by the time you get the information to the people, it's like pissing in a bucket. They don't get it, right?
This is really relevant because there are a couple of situations here where we do have organizations that have created circumstances where there is no leadership, and they're really seen as dangerous, seemingly, to everybody.
You can't organize it either. You just put out a public message. In other words, if like the weather, which is total baloney, by the way, because there are weather stations 5 miles apart, why do you have to predict it? You could just give a real time every 5 minutes, right? But anyway, what I mean here is you just put out the information, no organization, and people will do it. For example, I brought up the Super Bowl stadium. Have you ever seen the wave done in the stadium where the people do the wave,
Sure.
It goes around? Okay. Where's it's almost like a self-organizing flow, right? Because they're aware of it. And in the beginning, it's kind of rough, but then they kind of get it and they fall into it because, right, there's no filtering, there's no blocks that have been put in place. The thing that really kills it is fear. I remember about a decade ago or less, even maybe at the time we were doing ONG, the prepper movement was reaching its peak. Yeah. You know, store rice and beans. So I ran into some people, and I said, oh, rice and beans. Go to his living room and he's got a 50-pound bag of rice and beans. I'm like, do you eat rice and beans? Well, he goes, no. I said, well, if you were in a situation where you really had to eat that, you would wish you were dead. You wouldn't be able to digest it. You don't know how to cook it, right? And they would say to me, when a time comes, then don't come here, blah, 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 whatever. I was like, okay, sure. But, okay, if you really want to be a hardcore prepper, you run a rehearsal. So what I suggest people do is if you're afraid that you're going to be in a situation, do me a favor. Do a rehearsal. Go out to the breaker box right now. Pull the power down. Turn it off, shut off your water, shut off your gas or whatever like that, and call me back in 3 days. Let me know how it went.
Right.
How many do that?
Well, not too many of them. Not too many. Yeah. There was a small segment of the population that was actively trying to encourage people to do stuff like that at the time that we were doing the ONG stuff. And it was very interesting to me because you had two sides of it, and you had the very rare group that would say, look, you know what we do is we actually run this like a drill.
Yeah, but it should be innate, and it will be in the future. Mm-hmm. Not this society, not this one, you know. It's kind of okay. Let's say you have someone who's really tech savvy and they go back a few hundred years. Mm-hmm. It's not going to, their skills mean nothing.
It's absolutely useless. Yeah. I mean, I know how to computer.
This is absolutely code. What I'm saying. That's 99% great. Of Greek speak is absolutely useless to your typical, earth inhabitant. You know, because first of all, I've been doing a study, like I said earlier, about the I've seen on TV for about 2 years now. I listen very carefully to people. And everything they say, the majority of things that they say and the way they think is based on what form of television they were raised with, the ones that were, very heavily. So, I would make a jot every time I hear someone speak, I say, oh, they got that from television. I'm waiting for them to say something that they haven't learned on television. And that's just how we are, right? So you have to be very careful what you expose yourself to.
No, certainly. And the thing is that by the time you realize what it is you're being exposed to quite often, it's already
it's too late
because your entire call and response reflexes are all based on this stuff. And
well, that's why I used to have a joke. What does heavy artillery and Greek speak have in common? It used to be the joke was, what does banjo music and heavy artillery have in common? And it's once you hear it, it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Fair enough.
In other words, because artillery, you know, if the shell's coming in faster than the speed of sound, it'll hit. It's not like the movies where you hear when the explosion happens and then you hear the whoosh sound, right?
No, but the fact is, yeah, the speed of sound is behind the speed of the... It's just like a bullet.
The physical projectile will make its landing before you hear it, yeah.
Well, it's just like a bullet. I've described this. I've been shot before, right? And I did not hear that until after I was already shot, and quite honestly, I had to put it together because...
When getting shot, the first thing... Well, anyone who's been shot... and. I'm not going to query you on it, is the first complaint is it burns. Burns like hell.
Well, my first complaint actually was that my leg was wet. Then it burned.
Right.
Then it registered, I've been shot. You see, I wasn't even aware that that's what it was.
Well, right. It's sound. Just like when I almost nearly chopped the finger off. I wasn't aware until I looked at it.
Right.
Anyway, where do you want to go with this? I kind of laid out a little mixed bag buffet of what we've spoken on.
No, look, I appreciate it, and this makes perfect sense to me so far. I do want to talk a little more about the different organizational principles that I've seen. Now, you kind of objected to the idea that an organization and things would come about in an innate way or, you know, in a reflexive way as opposed to somebody saying, okay, I've determined this is what I'm going to do, and they actually do it. I do want to talk about that a little more and take a little break here because we're at about the one-hour mark, believe it or not.
So we'll keep going.
Yeah,
right.
we'll keep going, but we'll take a little breather. All right?
All right, let's do that.
Let people try to absorb what has been laid out so far, but there's a lot more. The Greek is with me here on an alleged Tuesday or Tuesday, right? So anyway, and he didn't even tell you what day it was this time. So stick around. The Ocelli Effect will return after.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia by author Mike Swanson with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War by author Mike Swanson.
In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks by Larry Hancock. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. Larry Hancock's book, In Denial, rips the cover off many of them. Using new files, it exposes things about the Bay of Pigs that no one has ever written about before. It shows why it really failed and why the United States did not learn from it. Secret Wars became a staple of U.S. covert operations and are still happening today. It also shows why other countries today are doing secret operations with more success. This is the book that puts what some want to deny into the light. In Denial, Secret Wars with Airstrikes and Tanks, Larry Hancock. For more information, go to larry-hancock.com. Pick up your copy of In Denial at amazon.com in digital or physical form.
Hi, I am Jesus Christ, the most credible spokesman ever. And I listen to the Ocelli Effect because Chuck Ocelli has his shit together. And he kind of thinks like me. Sometimes. Let he who goes to Ocelli.com get stoned. Much love. See you soon.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, she knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination look into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now. Go there now. Go there now.
Ocelli.com.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
Revelation through conversation.
Ocelli.com.
Revelation through conversation.
Get ready for the Ocelli Effect.
Second segment of the Ocelli Effect here on a Tears Day, allegedly, and all that good stuff. And I have the Greek with me, and he is definitely giving us the clinic in Greek speak, reminiscent quite a bit of the Ocelli and the Greek stuff, which I think at this point only resides in my archive. Good luck. They took it down other places. I'm very certain I'll be able to put it back out and all of that at some point. And who knows, maybe we'll just make the archive available to, I don't know, people that actually value it. More about that in the future and what's going to go on in the alleged year 2023.
Well, Chuck, let me interrupt for a moment. Sure. We secretly discussed possibly doing a reboot, but not like before. I'm putting that out publicly. I don't know if you get any feedback on that. Maybe it's worth considering.
Well, I absolutely know that we would have people that would be very pleased. I get, as I've told you many times, I get messages in between the time that you're on the show and you're not. And often I have, well, you know, our one friend from New Jersey often requests you. The one guy has been requesting ever since I had him on the first time just on my show.
Sounds like a stalker.
Yeah, almost. You know Eddie. Anyway.
Okay.
You did know Eddie at one point anyway. Maybe you don't know him now, but.
Yeah, there's plenty of Eddies around, but yeah, I think so.
Yeah, good guy from the same town in which I was allegedly born.
Got it.
So I love the guy.
Well, no, that's that's a place on the earth. You know, but there's a lot to say about geography, and I used to blame geography for a lot of the lack of sense that I saw around myself.
Right.
But it's not geographical. It's the entire world. So it's just slightly variation of flavor.
Yeah, you know what? It is a different flavor depending on the region you're in. I mean, obviously, stupid in New York City is just as stupid in Atlanta, but it does have a different accent. You know what I mean?
Right. This is like a loose conversation. So I'm looking at the Chitango and about the day here. Yeah, it's pretty close to the last one. I'm reckoning around the 28th of the 10th month, right? So it'll be the 11th month, usually for the bulk of January, then 12th month and bulk of February and March. Mm. Around the first week of March will be the first day of the first month. Mm. So, and also about here, at least the CIA gave us LSD when they just say drop out. No, it's not about dropping out. It's, that's the whole thing. At least they brought it out. So one of the comments here is basically to drop out, the decks are stacked, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's the initial flavor of it, but let me just interject something, if you will, Chuck. You don't want to drop out. There's something called administrative duties, right? If you're around people that do business, run their own businesses, you know, you call them up, say, hey, we're going to go play some basketball. Like, no, I got to do admin work tonight.
Right.
Admin means, you're going to have to sit down, get all the bills for the month together, you know, send them out, right, so they don't cut off your power or whatever, do payroll, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Admin work, right? Because a lot of people who run small businesses, they wear many hats, right?
Well, true.
Okay,
as I've told you before, right, I've worked with everything from this independent circumstance that I'm in now, where I do not have a boss, right? I don't believe I own a business. This is not a business necessarily, but anyway, I don't have a boss, and this is all I do.
Sure, but let me go back to the thing here about dropping out. It's not about dropping out at all. Mm-hmm. It's about finding people that will fill those spots the best they can. Like, for example, you don't want to do any banking. There's plenty of people out there that will.
Well, no, true. Look, and that's the thing, is that administratively,
right?
I used to work for ExxonMobil.
People want to get into flipping houses and, being a landlord. I'm like, do you want me to tell you how that's going to work out for you, or do you want to revisit this in a couple of years? And they're like, oh, tell me how that's going to work out. All right. You don't want to – whenever you're doing a landlord thing and you're going to – especially multiple units, no matter how good they look on paper, you're going to have problem tenant, right? One or many or whatever.
Right.
You get a management agency, you give them 5%, 10%, whatever they want, and they handle it for you, right? You don't want to be there beating the guy up for trashing the apartment or calling the cops. You want the management agency to do it, right? So you get an admin to do it. So
right.
If you don't want to deal with the banking, there's someone that does.
Mm-hmm.
Look, back in the days, the mob set up, they got into administrative stuff. And the smaller mob, and, you know, like the Irish mob and all that.
Right.
So they would start up these little front companies. The word got out that you can't do business the way you've been doing it. You got to start a front company, you load up the front company, and then you crash it.
Right.
But the problem with doing it, they got into all the LLC stuff, so you couldn't just file paperwork. They wanted like a person's social security. They want, you know, all this stuff. So I said, who's going to take the fall? I said, look, you see the homeless guy here on the corner?
Right.
He'll be so glad if you gave him $1,000 or $2,000 and a new suit and a shower to show up wherever and sign all the papers. You know that, right?
Well, $100 and a bag of McDonald's. Believe me, you can get a guy to show up and say he owns whatever.
He's got to look a lot, but he can't look too rough.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, $100.
You want to get somebody who's slightly not too insane and doesn't look too rough. They've been out only for a few weeks or a month, because if you've been out for years, you look too rough.
Right.
Have them do all the paperwork and, you know, whatever. You see, so there's always a fall guy. There's always an upright, upstanding administrative manager. There's always a thief. There's always a liar. There's always a trustworthy people. I've always said this before. You might trust someone and not like them, or you can like someone and not trust them.
Right.
For example, you might like, you know, having drinks with somebody, but you wouldn't give them your car keys or your house keys. There's other people that you wouldn't invite to have a drink with, but you would definitely trust them with your house keys or your car keys, right?
Well, see, now, I've known plenty of people like that, where it's like, look, they're fun to drink with, they're fun to go out to eat with, but I don't want to bring them anywhere near my family.
Right, or whatever.
You know, yeah, okay?
So you've got to be a good admin, and you've got to understand socially. Now, most of the Greek speak does seem reclusive and dropping out to the simple-minded, because when someone takes things too simply, there's nothing that's simple.
Mm.
Right? In one sense, the overall scope of the matter is simple. Let me just rephrase that. It's not easy. Everything is simple, but it's not easy. And when you see what is making something not so easy, it's because its simplicity run awry, meaning it's a lot of little simple things that need to be put together to make up that big simple thing.
Well, a good example is about the quality of food, right? We talked about this many times, the quality of food, where it's very simple to say, look, avoid the GMO and the high fructose corn syrup, right? Avoid that. And you'll be a lot healthier. Now, that's a very simple statement. Sounds pretty
simple.
Well,
there's a little more to that, because you got to live, you know, with the seasons, and that's one thing.
Well, I'm oversimplifying here. I'm just saying that you say that to somebody, and they go, well, that's a pretty simple statement. And then even you say, okay, eat seasonally. So know what's in season and eat according to that, and also eat the things that are local to you.
Well, here's the thing.
Sense.
Within the season, you have monthly. So for example, you know, as the moon is full and it goes up, you want to eat lighter foods, leafy greens. That's your time to have your sweets or whatever.
Sure.
When you get the dark moon, the energy on its way to the dark moon, right, it starts to go down. That's when you eat more root vegetable, avoid sweets. And then when it starts going up again, you lift up, right? So when women are having a bad menstrual cycle, which is usually in the middle of the month, they need to avoid sweets and eat more root vegetable, and they won't have such a bad cycle, right? So that's, I'm using the menstrual cycle because of the cramping and all that, right? So when the full moon comes around again, so you've got the monthly, like, for example, all of the really good farmers' almanacs talked about planting what when, and it went by what? The moon.
Moon, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because of it, but they don't explain it. You see?
Well, no.
So you got to explain, man. You got to explain.
No, I understand that. But I'm just saying that when you present a simple idea like that, it sounds very simple, but that requires a bunch of education, doesn't it?
Because right, but it's all within, it's already in front, it's already there. There's no sense in, look, I knew this guy a while back. He was an IP guy, intellectual property, right? So he'd get on the call, Skype call, a bunch of people, talking about some material that, you know, you need like a $20 million lab to make. And I'm like, this isn't going to help anyone here. We need to know about stuff we can go to the hardware store or find and laying around that we could rework and that is usable and improve. That this course, stuff you're bringing is doesn't work. You need to have, you see?
Well, that's why I like, you know, usually on Tuesdays, by the way, and Christy Aphrodite went in the chat room and she's usually on here on Tuesdays.
Oh, good. Tell her I said hello.
You know, I'm sure she just heard you, but the thing is that, she talks about, look, you know what? There is food all around you. There's plenty of things that are medicines and some of them grow right in your front yard.
Oh, yeah. Look, years ago, but then who are you going to talk to? And I say, look, what, this is what I mean. Years ago, I was trafficking, high-end water. We were making, built a Victor Schauberger device, and we were trafficking water in California, in LA, under Spring 2.0. One of the places we were selling it at is a place called Rossum. They got busted by the feds for selling raw milk and all this other stuff there 10 years ago, more. This is 2010, 11, 12.
Okay.
So we were selling water out of there, 10 bucks for three quarters of a quart, you know, a liter, let's say.
Okay.
And people were loving it. They were getting high off the water. It was really super high-quality water. We were just taking tap water and transmuting it to high-quality spring water.
Well, the stuff that we covered actually in a private thing that's only in the member section at Ocelli.com. About
sure,
water,
but
yeah.
The device I'm talking about, if you want one, you transfer 30 grand into a bank account, and by the time it's ready to be delivered, you got to give me another 30 grand. So it's kind of like getting a new, like a used Mercedes or whatever.
That's another thing. But we talk about
it. They take a very long time to build. They're very expensive.
Yes.
But here's the thing. So these people are into the health and all this stuff. They know all this stuff, right? So we're walking one day. This is in Venice Beach. I'm walking to the beach because it was just a few blocks from there. And the leader of the group, you know, the store and all these other health freaks, you know, real earthy, crunchy, granola type people, you know. Right. Oh, you can't cook food. You got to eat it raw. So anyway, we're crossing the median and talk about food all around you, right?
Right?
And in the median, I point down and I say, hey, look. And they're like, what? I said, what's that? And none of them knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I started pulling it up, said, this is burdock root. It's really good for you. And they didn't even recognize it, right? You know, and then we're crossing the median again. This is between the median, right, in the street. I said, look at that. What's that? I don't know. It's amaranth, man. You could eat the greens, the seeds. All. So in other words, be careful who you go. So here you have one of the most prestigious organizations teaching people how to eat well,
right,
and they didn't recognize the wonderful vegetables that were growing in front of the sidewalk in the median on the way to the beach.
Right.
So who are you going to – so in other words, you got to – like, for example, if you want to learn about the legal system, you can't go to an attorney.
No.
No way. If you want to know about the human body, you can't go to a medical doctor. No effing way.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the point about the police, too, is that
you want to learn about spirituality. You can't go to a priest, a rabbi, or an imam. No way. It's the wrong direction.
Right.
So who are you going to go to? Right?
That's
a good
question.
Yourself. Crack it open, man. It's like, okay, here's the other thing. A lot of people say that, you know, the G-O-D is within you. It's not. There's no text that says that, by the way. That's a translation in the King Jimmy, right?
Mm-hmm.
What he actually said was the kingdom of heaven is beside you, but they put it within you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so you get it? If everything is beside you, right, you see, it shouldn't be more than what? 5 feet apart? Like, if you could reach out 2 feet when you hold up your arm, just a little bit more.
Right.
If you reach out, if 5 feet is basically standing up, sticking your arm out, and taking what? One step? And you got it.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
That's it. Well, but
okay, communication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Communication. See, now, here we go into a strange area, and we're probably going to take up the rest of the time that we're going to spend presenting this Sonic event on this, because, as I mentioned to you during the break, and I always disclose this stuff, by the way, you know, I talked about Antifa a bunch, and I stopped talking about it, and I've had people write to me, how come you're not talking about it anymore? Because nobody understood what it was I was trying to explain, which is that there is this mechanism that is presented to you, you know, by the people that present entertainment and politics and all of it together, because they're all the same media company, right? So, you know, your Fox Broadcasting, Fox News, well, also gives you The Simpsons, so keep it in mind, right? It's just, it is the way of things. they're talking about this organization, Antifa does this and that and the third thing, and they kept saying that, you know, they're the anti-organization to this or that or whatever. Meanwhile, they're talking about a fabrication that is created. I mean, anarchists wearing uniforms. I mean, where do you want the contradictions to begin and end, okay? Really. And I tried to talk about what's really happening regarding this, which is there is a communication hub, so to speak, that exists. And that is actually what it is. Not this thing that they keep telling you about on TV. Because as seen on TV, I mean, even those products that are as seen on TV, Greek, right? Most of the time, they're not quite as good when you get them in your hands, are they? They're not quite as miraculous. And, you know, the flashlight's not quite as bright. Right? The knife is not really indestructible. You know what I'm saying? So it's
always...
But
Antifa, I think you want to model you want to focus on the model of Antifa, right?
Yeah.
Which is, exactly the same as the Wall Street protests around 2011 on the Pope's work schedule. What was that called? The one percenters are bad or all that, right?
Right.
How many of them were speaking on the fractional money system that when you get a check, it has no value until you sign it, right?
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody, right? Okay, so same thing with Antifa. It doesn't matter if it's a dictatorship, fascist, communist, whatever. Is it lawful?
Mm.
Is it benevolent? Or is it unlawful, meaning legal and malevolent, right? Mm. So that's the straw. Like a lot of people, you wouldn't believe past few years. Well, yes, you probably would. And people ask me about Bitcoin. I said, okay, first of all, it's an intelligence operation.
Yes.
If you buy Bitcoin or engage in human trafficking, prostitution, or illegal drugs, you're supporting the intelligence agencies. Anytime you see thousands of percent profit, mm-hmm. it's an intelligence operation.
Oh, right.
And it goes back to the Jesuits. Before that, it goes back to the Templars. Before that, it goes back to the who are the Seleucids. Before that, it goes to the Persians. Before that, it goes to the Babylonians. The same intelligence operational model.
Well, and there's a reason why the phrase "the opiate of the people" exists, right? You know, just say go ahead. I mean, that model has continued to prevail.
So it doesn't matter what it is. Like, okay, look, mm-hmm. I have a personal story I could tell you from conversations with the Black Lives Matter and tying it into the because it's loosely tied with Antifa. Loosely, right. I don't mean to lump it up with the affirmative action. You remember that?
Sure.
They're saying, oh, we're going to entitle people. Because of their color or whatever, it's too bad. No. Affirmative action started, this is from speaking with someone who was involved in structuring that in the 60s, was American industry was becoming incestuous with middle-aged white guys. Mm-hmm. You know, go look at, for example, documentaries on Ford Motor Company or the NASA or whatever in the 50s and 60s. You see all these guys with short haircuts, with pocket protectors, white guys, right? Middle-aged,
right.
Everywhere. Okay,
right.
What they found out was American industry was getting stifled because of the culture of the middle-aged white guy running everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they needed an influx of some new blood, new ideas, a slightly different, and they knew it had to be done culturally because they kept tightening the reins of education. Because this is, back then, if you wanted to be an architect,
mm-hmm.
and you showed you were competent in the field and can prove it,
mm-hmm.
with some testing, they gave you an architect's degree, or not a degree from a college, but they gave you the licensing. Same with a
right.
doctor, same with whatever, or a lawyer. If you can prove that you knew the law, they gave you the, let's say, quote-unquote licensing and permission by the state. Now
mm-hmm.
they made it a requirement that you have to have a certain amount of college.
Right.
See, before they – okay. So even that – they did that, and they encouraged that back in the 50s and 60s because they needed some new blood.
Right.
Didn't come. So they said the only way we're going to get it is by getting some of the Caribbean, Latin, African, Asian blood in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, not white America. We need – and white America includes also the German and the Swedish. And we need some – people, diverse, cultural diversity that will break us, break the train of thought that we have. Because that culture, by the way, will see things a differently, different
right.
way. And that was the reason for affirmative action.
Mm-hmm.
Not to, unrighteously, unmeritoriously enrich people.
Well, and certainly not to correct some previous injustice. That's just ludicrous. Nobody attempts
right.
to correct
that. So here's the thing with the BLM and Antifa also tied up. Instead of saying, well, we were slaves, blah, 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 how about them saying that we have enriched your culture?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Look at what the hip-hop movement did in the 90s. Like, before the 90s, it was ghetto and whatever. But in the 90s, you go down to, like, white bread America, they were embracing Biggie Smalls and Tupac.
Right.
Right? Okay. So this is a bad example because if it sounds good, it is good. I'm not a particular genre of any fan of any genre.
Well,
but what I'm trying to say is the original idea for this multicultural stuff that was put into government codes in terms of hiring practices had nothing to do with without merit bringing people in. The merit of it was injecting a multicultural, multiracial, multicultural environment where it was, right, just white bread, middle-aged white guys, you see.
Well, see, and it's funny you keep saying white bread.
I had a long conversation. This guy was a civil engineer who developed all the highways, which is kind of a nightmare, in Atlanta, Georgia. He was in his 80s. This was about a decade ago. And he was part – and he says, nobody knows this. Here's the other thing. When you hear about, quote-unquote, black people, you always culturally – just like when they show a doctor, they show a white lab coat with a stethoscope. Well, when you hear about black people and where they live, they always show a ghetto or something like that. They never show the upper middle class neighborhoods like Kew Gardens or Queens in New York or Hollis, Queens. They never show Marietta, Georgia. They never show – I mean, there's like dozens of upper middle class black neighborhoods, you know, like the Cosby Show kind of thing, you know?
Right.
They never show that.
Right.
Right? Never. So –
But cultural debris, it's funny you keep saying white bread because it's very funny to me considering that the cuisine in America and the music and everything else, if you were to extract and remove completely, blacks, Italians, and Jews, I'll just pick those three groups. Guess what you got? Nothing. I mean, really, anything that you consider to be, I mean, just the example of pizza I bring up all the time, which is funny. Without this injection into the ecosphere, so to speak, of the cultural diversity, you've got a very stagnant situation without them, and then later Asians, and then so on and so forth. Without these different injections of different things that are diverse culturally, you have stagnation, which is exactly the same when it comes to the technological advances, right?
Right, but if the stagnation is indeliberate, like in some cases you want stagnation so that the art doesn't get lost, like in winemaking, for example.
Right.
Or violin making, right? You know, the Stradivarius, they're not telling the people why it has its original sound because it's so simple, right? Mm-hmm. And winemaking, for example, it's not really that it's the age of the wine. If you ever drink like a $1,000 bottle of wine, it tastes like jam.
Mm.
Yeah, but it still tastes like take some jam, filter it out, you know, whatever, strawberry, grape jam, and mix it with some wine. And you know, it's not that simple, but that's what it tastes like. You know, it's like why would you? You know, it's the practices. That's what makes the age, right?
Right.
So
right.
Or antiques better. You know, that's the practice. So some things you do want stagnation. Right. In other words, you know, the best cheese, you know, Parmesan Reggiano.
Well, but there's a difference
that's
between
stagnation. They're not innovating.
Yeah, but there's a difference.
Once you innovate,
between,
it's no longer the same thing.
Of course, but there's a difference between stagnation and maintaining a quality which has been reached by practice, right? And
if it needs that influx, let's say,
But that's
if it does
thing.
Better, like
right.
look, genetics,
right.
There's a guy who has a YouTube video who goes around the Adirondack Mountains where everybody's in, you know, not everybody, but he interviews people that have been inbred and they're seriously retarded, right? So that inbreeding, you know, sometimes shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Wow. Sorry, there was a bit of a, I think, a thunder roll behind me there.
Oh, I hear it.
Yeah, you hear it? Sorry. It was like this boom, and then there was a second boom, so I was just a little distracted there for a second. But no, but that's the thing, though, is when something becomes too incestuous, there's a level at which, you know, homogenous actions and breeding and practice is good, but this varies, right? And if it becomes too incestuous, again, then we have stagnation. So at certain points, you need to engineer the introduction or the reduction of new information, depending on the quality of things that are being produced, whether it's people or it's cheese. It doesn't matter, right?
No, well, the context matters, right? In other words, if you want to preserve something, you want to do it the same way, but you can't because the environment changes, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, it depends on the fine points that you're looking at. But look, you know, you got to, I see here something about 200 years. I got sick of everything working well 200 years. It hasn't worked well. It's all propaganda. Every time there's a new generation, this is how the social engineering works. Mm-hmm. You got to separate the children from the parents because otherwise the children will be like the parents, not like a carbon copy of the parents, but pretty much a copy of the parents. So Right. What you do is you create a rift, a generational rift, right?
Okay.
It started in the 1800s, late 1800s, and, you know, remember Rebel Without a Cause, James Dean, right? The rift, right?
Sure.
Between, okay, so you create a rift within the household, doesn't matter. In certain cultures, they separate the children from the household. That's the best way to change society because mm-hmm. you can't teach something to a child. They go home and sleep in the same house, and they have a different, you know, philosophy or ideology completely, different
right.
ideas, it won't work.
Right.
Conflict. So they know they can't do that. So they create a conflict, generational conflict within the house, right? And then when those younger people are ejected from that environment, then they have more wherewithal, supposedly, and can rebuild society, right, differently.
Yeah.
And this is just how it's done. But that system doesn't work anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's too much information.
Right.
It's all distractions. You know, I think on the early Greek speak stuff, I spoke about what's coming as a Middle East Union, but it's not, no one cares about that. The reason for it is you're going to have a very conservative, quote unquote, move back to lawfulness in a very stringent, it'll be lawful, but it'll be overdone, right?
Right.
You know, smothering. So this has started already. I don't know if you guys are paying attention, you know, on the subtleties of, things that were banned and censored, let's say, a year or two ago are starting to be on, mainstream media, right?
Right, right.
Like the deaths from the shot, right? And the hoaxes that have been perpetrated, medical hoaxes, so that's starting to come out. And also being fed up with all this liberal agenda. This is all planned, by the way. It's by the same people that brought you the liberal, right?
Of course.
Stuff. And I've talked about this, by 2025 or so, you're going to be within the throes of an ultra conservative society that you will not recognize compared to what's been going on the past few years. So it's no big deal. It's funny. It's great to talk about stuff that's going to happen in the future, and then you're still alive. You see it rolling up just like you talked about it, and it seems natural to everyone, but it's clearly unnatural because you knew it was coming and you know the control mechanism, so.
Well, right. I mean, quite frankly, if you listen very carefully to the early shows that we did, you could have predicted the past couple of years very easily.
Yeah, but here's the thing. When you see it coming, the people are just going to complain about it when it comes, even though you told them, right?
Well, that's what they do anyway. But yeah.
Yeah. So again, it's about. I'll use the word individual or each you know select person, man or woman or being, what they do with it, and you structure yourself. Okay, this is how you know. It's about living life with efficiency. Right. So, for example, if remember during the Obama years, we were supposed to go into war and lockdowns or whatever, you know, it didn't happen until 2020. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So if people that got caught up with the prepping because disaster is coming and all this, if you know that it's not, you don't have to get engrossed in that argument. You don't have to spend any energy in it, right? At all.
Right.
That's where the efficiency comes from. It's not a, you're not going to change anything by knowing about it, but you will, you won't waste energy on it.
No, fair enough. So, look, with the last little bit here that I have you, because we're going to end this around the two-hour mark, not necessarily right on it, but around there.
That's fine.
I have this idea that you might be open to revisiting the Ocelli and the Greek thing, which would be fascinating. Of course, generally, you designed that. We had the chapters and episodes.
I'll stop you there for a second. It will be fascinating, not just informative. This time, you know, I've always I try not to share more than 10%, right?
Right.
So let's do the 11, 12, 13, 14, up to 20, 30, 40%. Why not? It's going to be nitty gritty, and it's all done with when I say people are morons, I say that affectionately, right? Because if you got a better word, I'd like to know.
Oh yeah.
But it's not going to be on a venue. We could talk. I think the best way to do it is the way that behind a paywall.
Mm-hmm.
Not an hour out, 15 minutes. And you don't just edit clips out. We do a 15-minute or 20-minute or half-hour max segment on what you will get if you contribute.
No, that sounds...
And you must contribute, otherwise you're not going to get... And it doesn't even have to be quote-unquote money, you know, credit, because there's no... Right? You have to give something in return.
Oh, fair enough.
Some exchange.
Fair enough. I'm more than happy to explore this because... you know, the I have all the mechanisms to do it. The model has not quite panned out so well for me the past couple of years, and frankly, I even considered letting this go finally after doing this for 10 years because I feel like I'm kind of banging my head up against the wall, honestly. But this would be a very interesting way to go forward and do the thing that I want to do here.
The whole key, Chuck, is not to bang your head on the wall.
No, I know.
You know, unless it's a, you know, unless you're into that kind of thing.
No, listen, I'm enjoying it. I'm saying that it's one of these things that just seems to keep happening because I feel like I'm making plenty of effort to inform people about certain things. And, yes,
let me just say it this way. It goes down to one thing, really. It's, okay, running with the scissors. Bad news travels faster than good news, right?
True enough.
The other thing is not attracting people that are good at communicating. Mm-hmm. So, in other words, if you have a listener base, and I'm saying this publicly because it's just to help people. If you have like 100 people listening to you and 99 of them can't communicate a thought, even in their daily lives, mm-hmm. how are they going to communicate what you're saying to someone else?
Yeah, well, I'm
they're not. It's not. They'll try to explain it to someone else, and they'll just be like, "I don't know what you're talking about," or "I'm not getting it."
Well, that's exactly the thing I've come to is that you know the majority. And look, this is not to offend anyone or to put anybody down, but the bottom line is the majority of my regular listeners do not seem to communicate with anyone else about the show or anything.
The thing
even,
is to attract people that are good at communicating.
That would be preferable. You know, so this way the information could be, you know, and again, it's the information that is key. It's not about, you know, no offense to you. It's not about you.
But here's the thing, if you're giving information to someone, anyone, that helps their lives and they can't spread that, they have to give something in return. Right. Emphasis on the have. They have to give something in return because that's, you know, fair exchange. Unless they're on the poverty level, meaning poverty and poor in spirit, and then of course you want to help the poor.
Right.
But when they get off that poverty level, then to go on from there. See, that's why the Greeks, I never really pursued it. I pursue other things in audio design and other forms of engineering that I'm working on. But when I say audio design, I mean a way of producing sound that has never been heard before. Like a small speaker that's under your arm that sounds more clear and more bass and louder than a large floor standing thing, right? It's just some kind of different physics I'm using.
Oh, in some of your private
Newtonian
discussions. Yeah, in some
it's
of your
not,
private.
It's not it's not Newtonian to say you can't break the laws of physics, but Newton's been dead for a long time, and there is a category called non-Newtonian fluids and non-Newtonian physics, finally. Mm-hmm. Not quantum garbage. But the thing is, I've never leaned on promoting the Greek speak. I've never done other than a website, which is strictly for, you know, it's easier to just go to uncommonradio.com and find the email. That's all that's on there.
There's no longer an archive, right? There's no longer an archive on Uncommon Radio or anything, right?
Nothing. It's just an email. It says go to Uncommon Radio. That's where you send an email, and that's it. I mean, I have other emails and stuff for other purposes, but the thing is, if you're going to be giving information to those that can't spread it, because this is altruistic, if you know something that can help someone and others, and whoever is receiving it is not spreading it to others, then it's kind of like just a single use thing, not getting anything back. There has to be fair exchange of some sort.
Right.
And that's why I look at all the models, like people that grow channels, and immediately donate. Here's my Patreon. Here's my Buy Me a Coffee. Here's my membership. Because innately they understand that they should get something back for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And if they just put it out openly, they're probably not going to get anything back. So if you're doing this for a living or trying to – you're doing something worthwhile living. Look, if you're painting houses or sweeping streets or shoveling coal or shoveling shit or whatever, and it's useful to society or useful to people, you should get something in return.
Mm-hmm. No, this is true. And the problem with this, you know, newer paradigm regarding the model of information distribution is that for the most part, there must be like a free level to it and then a something behind a paywall, something that is, you know, for that exchange.
Of course. And they'll, right. Yeah, and it should be good. It can't be, sometimes people email me, things that are behind a paywall. They're a member and they're like, what do you think of this? And I'm like, it has very little value. You know, here's the whole thing. It's, I found that other than looking up, you know, how to change a water pump on YouTube, you know, that's very helpful because if you've never changed a water pump on a 2000 Dodge Caravan 3.0, for example, it's good to watch a video, what to expect, right? At least you get something out of that. But the majority of what's on YouTube is just taking up your time. It's a dummy load. You know, do you want to just kill 2 hours or whatever? So.
Oh no, the most useful stuff I've found on YouTube, honestly, is look, this is how you use your software.
Make your computer faster without downloading cleaning programs. Sure.
Yeah, stuff like that. Or even, you know, look, your computer has a problem. Here's how you might be able to address it.
Right.
Stuff like that. Very practical.
DIY.
I like it. Yeah,
all DIY,
DIY
stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something called medical advice and legal advice and all this other stuff, you know, and when you study the laws on that, it's only those, you know, there's plenty of people in quote unquote prison for practicing law without a license or medicine without a license, right? And they've been, tricked into that because the actual laws and codes are if you've been licensed and lost your license or haven't renewed it, that those are the only people to be charged with those crimes. But there's plenty of people that have been peddling, let's say, what's called legal information, especially in the Patriot community or with medical stuff that have gotten in trouble. They don't understand how that works. So and it's always misconstrued. And also if you're speaking anything political, it's always going to be pro this or anti that, right? If you're speaking about, let's say, what the holy writs of the world, they're going to think you're pro religion or anti religion or the brand you as one religion. Oh, I'm not religious, right? They say, so I think the category of putting everything under history, right? So if you want to speak about how to basically fix the human body, put it under medical history or legal history or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you're watching a YouTube to get something out of it on how to fix your computer, that's historical because it was done prior to you watching it, right?
Right, right.
So everything is in history. Even, look, in order for something to happen – it must already exist, because things that don't exist just don't come into existence and happen. It already exists. You just haven't gotten there yet, right? So everything is in history. That's why I said when you understand in the past prophecy, it's history of the future. We write history of the past. Well, we don't really have any real history, right? But what's coming is already happened, but not within our vantage point.
Right, right. And you know, the thing is, look, I've already seen advice, don't put this on Patreon or anything. No, I don't think it needs to be anywhere like that.
No, hold on. Those things are a necessity. Those things need to be in place because that's how society works. Like, for example, if you go to the store and want to buy something, they expect you through tradition to go to the cash register. This is it's something I pointed out. I was with someone at Walmart, right?
Right.
And I'm looking. I said, look, I said, was at the self-checkout, right, waiting there to get some soaps and things like that. And I said, look around the walls. The person's like, huh, why? I said, look around all this. Look, this is the exit. This is the entrance. This is where the customer service is. These are the counters. Look at the walls. Look, do you see any big signs that you must come to check out first and quote unquote pay for it before you leave? It doesn't say that anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because everything's already been paid for. But customarily, you have to go to the cashier or the self-checkout and process a card or put some paper in the machine, and then you can get a receipt and walk out. Right? Customary. Nowhere does it say in these big stores or even small stores that you have to stop at the cash register and do some kind of transaction before you leave. It's customary, isn't it?
Mm. Well, yeah.
You see what I mean?
Try to violate the custom, see what happens. You know?
I have seen a lot of people just walk right out, no problem.
See, I've seen that too, and I wonder about it because I've also seen the other way too. You know,
it's already prepaid, by the way. It's not stealing, but I'm not saying you should do that because the customs, right, will require otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the whole point in this. These customs should be avoided when they're totally unlawful, which most of them are.
Mm-hmm.
But you come to a point where it's not avoidable anymore, right? Like, in other words, you have to drink your own pee to save your life if you're stuck in a room somewhere for days and days, right?
Well, see, but here's the thing, right? I feel as though I must personally exchange something for value if I receive something for value, right?
Yeah.
So I feel as though it is an obligation of mine to not simply walk out with any, regardless of what it is I'm supposedly entitled to or not, right? How about that kind of perspective? I mean, is that not a proper perspective?
No, here's the thing.
Yeah.
This is planet Earth, right?
True.
So,
as far as I know.
It's very simple.
Yes.
The saving grace of the educational system is this. Everything they're telling you about anything, just reverse it. And the reverse is true. That's how accurate it is, in other words, right? So even though, like, for example, all college degrees are a BS degree, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know that if they tell you it's this, the exact opposite is true. So they're very reliable that way. It's not like a mixed bag. Right?
No, it's not like your news media.
If they tell you there's a pandemic, there is no pandemic, right?
Well, it's not like
if they tell you there's terrorism, there is no terrorism.
See, but your news media doesn't quite function like that, and not like the education system, because they mix things together. It's not a one-to-one reversal.
Here's the thing. I found that the mainstream, you're talking about mainstream media, is so bizarre in its thought pattern, which we didn't get into the filtering, by the way, coding.
No, we didn't.
That it's very coded. Maybe I'll jump into that real quick. Okay.
Sure, we can go over time a little bit if you want.
The powers that be have sentinels, right? They watch what's going on. And let's say you were security at a football game or a big public event. You're watching the event. You might enjoy it, but you're also watching the crowd. And someone who's well-seasoned in security will know, will notice things that potentially could become hazardous to the group, right?
I know that this is absolutely true because you're well aware. Well, you and I have had plenty of private conversations. You know I worked in security for a living.
So you're watching the crowd very carefully, even though there's a band playing on stage or whatever, right? And this is without all forms of security. So you're watching and say, oh, you see this right here? This is might turn into something we need to focus, right?
Okay. Oh, I'm watching packages. I'm watching things that are left on the floor. I'm watching all kinds of stuff that nobody's looking at when I'm working security. Yes, go ahead.
Right. So imagine you have a way to label the status of the group, and you do it through the language.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, let's use the biblical text or any religious text, by the way. It works with every religion. But let's use the Western biblical one. They've changed everything around the perception of it so much that it's again almost polar opposite. Whatever you read, it's the opposite of what people think. So you put out this Jesus character, J-E-S-U-S, right?
Right.
Where, first of all, anyone who's got half a brain knows it's not an English document. It's written in Hebrew, so it would be Yahshua. And the sixth book is the book of Joshua. Let's call it Joshua with a J. Why didn't they call him Joshua? His name was Joshua. Something's wrong. Really fishy to call him J-E-S-U-S. So when you put your security out there to watch the crowds, if everyone is using the J-E-S-U-S, that means they all fell for it and you're fine. You don't have to hide anything. You don't have to redact anything. You don't have to propagandize anything, right?
Oh, they've already
because
agreed.
They're all using the code. Like,
they've
for example,
already agreed to that code, which again involves the letter J, which wasn't even in.
Right, but yeah. Let's say forego that, and it's used as Joshua now instead of with a Y. It's a J. That's fine too. But why not call him Joshua? Why did they turn it to JS? It's so distorted to make it so an 8-year-old with a mild awareness of the historicity of it will see it. Now, here's another example. You have to pay for that. No, they got everyone saying, how much did you pay for that? Oh, I paid for this. No, there is no pay. You cannot pay. What you do is you settle. Mm. You settle. You do not pay. You satisfy or you settle. I said, did you settle that with them? Right? Did you settle on that? Right? Okay, there is no pay. So if they got everyone saying, that's paid, or I'm going to pay, or you paid, or you have to pay, the security, right? Who the security is another thing, but let's say they're watching society and say, oh yeah, these are all idiots here. We're fine. They're all subdued.
Well, the term insecurity literally when you're dealing with transactional things is to settle up.
Right. There is no paying. You cannot pay. That's why you have legal tender. You cannot pay with legal tender. Well, it's to satisfy, right?
So even when we're examining loss prevention and leakage and things like this, these are all terms, by the way, used in various
security. Yeah, has it been settled? Right. Because legally, pay has no legal bearing. Right. So it's funny. Someone once wrote in a letter to an attorney and we mentioned a bunch of things, and I said, if you don't understand anything, if you do have problems understanding or difficulty understanding what this, what's in this document, you should consult a lawyer. This is writing to an attorney, because you know what I mean? It's kind of like a double ended. It's kind of like saying to a psychiatrist, anyone who wants to see a psychiatrist should have their head examined, right? So all of these terms that are put out there that are completely nonsensical in the context of the way things work are coded messages for the security crew, security, what do you call them? Crew, security team, whatever, that is watching to write in their log at the end of the day, did everything go smoothly? Right? Or are we having problems that we have to take care of?
Right.
So when you have people in the religious circles using J-E-S-U-S or G-O-D, oh yeah, these people are totally, they don't know anything.
Right.
When they say that they have to pay or they have debt, right, they don't know anything. They're totally fine, right? You see, the medical goes the same way, right? The blood. Some people say, "Look, I went to the doctor." I said, "Hold on, before you tell me what he said, did he strap a cuff on you and tell you have blood pressure?" Mm-hmm. He says, "Yeah, he did." I said, "That's a quack. That's a total quack," which is standard, by the way. Standard is, can quackery become a standard? Here, rat feces in food is monitored, rat feces at food processing locations is monitored by the FDA, okay?
Right.
How much rat feces is allowable at the location. Now, a long time ago, they found that all the hot dog manufacturers not only had rat feces at their food processing locations, but it was some of it also getting into the food.
Mm-hmm.
They can't shut down all the hot dog manufacturers in America. There'll be a revolution, right?
Well, there's also an allowable level of...
So they allow it.
This is disturbing, too, by the way, just really quick point. There's an allowable level of human flesh in your hot dog also.
Well, if you eat pork...
No.
10%, if you've been eating pork since the 70s, let's say, depending on how old you are, definitely if you're about, let's say 10%, you have human, in other words, there is no processed pork on the market that does not show human DNA. Put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go that way. Let's make it to the extreme at this point.
Okay.
There's human DNA. In other words, you're eating pork, you're eating people. But it's usually in the ground-up version. That's very well known, and it's laughed about, just like chemtrails are laughed about, right? So if you research chemtrails, it's all conspiracy theories. But if you put in a stratospheric aerosol injection, mm-hmm. you'll find all the patents and all the groups that are doing it and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So
you can find a lawsuit from, 1971 regarding chemtrails being created over the state of New Jersey because it was creating too many artificial clouds. And therefore, visibility is challenged.
Stratospheric and aerosol injection.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know what I say, no pork on my fork, and there's a reason for it. You know, like, because it's so similar to human flesh that there are people that get, you know what a prank is, right? That's another part of the Greek speak, the pranking element. It's all about pranks, you know? Like, the worst thing I ever have been hearing since I learned how the money system works is they're going to war for money.
Mm.
No. There is no money. It has nothing to do with that. They're going to war because you want to go to war. You know, the people do, you know.
Mm.
So.
Well, that becomes a terribly twisted. That is a discussion for, I think, a separate presentation even.
Okay, let's just a bit ideal, and I appreciate you having me on, because it's like a memory of things we've done that were done very well, so.
Well, I always enjoy this because, quite frankly, every time, again, the little tagline I put on the website, right, revelation through conversation, is meaningful to me. Every time I have a conversation with someone who is, you know, in a different frame of mind, which is always a guarantee, right? Nobody's in exactly the same frame of mind that I am. You know, here I go using all kinds of sloppy, ham-handed phrases, right? I like doing this with you occasionally. Gets him upset, and then he goes on a tear about something I just said that is really, really badly worded. And we wind up discussing etymology, and we wind up discussing the actual roots of things as opposed to, you know, the general convention, the conveyance that they tell you about. Fractional reserve banking, sure, you've heard about that elsewhere. I mean, I love the presentation in that movie Zeitgeist about it. You know, I'm sure you've seen that.
Yeah, but they look, what they do in 2 hours with Zeitgeist, we could do in 15 minutes and you'll get more out of it.
See, that's the thing, is that a whole lot of this stuff that we have done and is now not available as it was.
Well, look, we can go on and on and on, but I recently, past year or two, been doing some private Skype conversations with someone that's important to me because, you know, I study the ancient Hebraic texts, and this person is from Israel, and the reason they're important to me is when I bring up some ancient Hebraic text, I ask them, if you read this, if a modern-day Hebrew speaker read this, would it be understood? Are they still using it? You know, and they're my litmus. They say, yeah. Or sometimes they'll say that word's not being used anymore, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like if you're reading Beowulf, it's Old English, right?
Right.
So I'm trying to figure out, but I said, how did you find out about Greek speak? And he says, well, years ago I used to go to the office, which is Starbucks. He'd meet up with some local people, right? And they'd have coffee, all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And this person works in physical therapy, and there'd be an attorney there, an ex-firefighter, whatever. It's just all kinds of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he didn't know about Greek speak, and this attorney, a lawyer, goes to him and says, listen, you got to hear this guy, the Greek. And I listened to him. He did a 15-minute explanation on how the money system works. I never heard it explained so simply before. I use it all the time.
Mm.
Really? So it was an attorney that heard this, that enjoyed it, and conveyed it to someone who I consider a friend now. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
You just never know who's going to find out and, you know, use it or whatever, you know, so.
Well, see, that's the funny thing about lawyers and attorneys and, you know, people go, oh, well, they must know the law and this and that. Actually, what they know how to do is tell a story.
Yeah, well, the attorney is not a lawyer, because you can give, here's the proof of that.
Well, that's why I separate attorneys and lawyers.
You can give power of attorney. Attorney just means they represent you, can sign for you. Like, for example, I can give you power of attorney over the car, the house, the bank account,
whatever.
Well, I was
just going to say, you can make me your attorney, so to speak. I am
right.
Not practiced in
power
law
of attorney. What's right? In other words, an attorney is power of attorneys. It's all by a lawyer is knowledgeable in the law, and a friend of the court. An attorney is just representing an incompetent or someone who is not available because they're incompetent, right?
Right. Or even in the case of, say, a medical issue, if you give someone the power to make medical decisions for you when you've been put into surgery or whatever, they are technically your
attorney. Sure. And there is no – the medical industry, there are no doctors, by the way. Medical doctors are medical technicians. They're not really doctors.
Right.
And they are part of the legal system. I've witnessed this more than a dozen times in my life where I've asked – certain doctors, why are they prescribing this with that when it's obvious? He says, well, and why don't we just do this herbal tincture instead, which is where it was garnered from with no side effects. He says, well, legally, I can't tell you that. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, legally, wait a second. You know, legally, what do you mean legally? I thought you were, you know, I thought this is about health and medicine.
Right.
So it's really the attorneys that are running the attorneys are the trustees for the bankruptcy.
Right.
Right? So, and we're all, everything's bankrupt and, you know, but people don't understand that all of your institutions are running on emergency status. You know, like every year they sign in, or every few years, the state of emergency, right, politically. You can look it up. It's in the Federal Register, you know.
Right, right. No, that's all true. And of course, we have also covered that as well. I look forward to this. If you're very serious about revisiting this and doing the short term, I'm already seeing some interest. Some people would really love to, hear some of these things again, but also an expansion of information, because some years ago, again, about eight, according to, you know, that Gregorian thing, that calendar, about 8 years ago, you and I were talking about things that were going to happen in about 10 years. So it's right around the corner.
Are.
And some things are happening that we discussed. In fact, if you go back to the medical discussion, I got to tell you that there's a pretty stark description from the Greek about theoretically.
I said these things about viruses, it's bioterrorism. In other words, that the powers that be, or what you consider the authorities, are going to terrorize you with that.
Right.
I've said it, but I was very clear about that a long time ago.
No,
you
were.
I remember
and
that.
Indeed, I have carried with me ever after the challenge to many people. Okay, do me a favor. If there is something that exists that's called a virus, right?
It does. It's just like litter. It's just like litter on the street.
No, I understand.
It's litter in the body.
I understand. But what I have asked people to do is show me a photograph. You must admit that if something exists, you can photograph it. Yes or
no? Well, look, and the other thing with the shots and the injections, I've been looking at that, always touting an NIH document. It's 900 pages long. Can't find it now, by the way. I have it on a dead computer.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, it's 982 pages or something. You read the introduction and it asks about the efficacy of, immune boosting stuff, you know, basically vaccines.
Right.
And you go to the conclusion, 981 pages, and they basically say it's inconclusive. What are you going to read in between? Right?
No.
But when you read it in between, this is what you find. Like recently, I was out a year ago. There was like a little thing set up to do the shot. And someone was speaking, and everyone frowned and said, oh, you're one of those anti-vaxxer nut jobs, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I walked up forward, and I said, well, look, are you taking into account the blood type and body weight of who is going to be getting the shot? And you also have to take in consideration if they're male, female, and their race as well.
Yeah.
Are you taking those things in consideration? Because all the studies, that's how they do it. When you get a shot, they have to know your blood type, body weight, male, female, right?
Yeah.
Black, white, or Asian? Because if you speak to an anesthesiologist,
very determinative there regarding. And by the way, anesthesia. Here's the funny thing: most anesthesiologists have no concept as to why anesthesia works. Actually.
Oh yeah, but here's the interesting thing. There's a 90-pound white girl with red hair and freckles needs an appendectomy.
Right.
And there's a 300-pound black guy that needs an appendectomy.
Right.
Okay, the amount of anesthetic that you have to give the 90-pound white girl with red hair and freckles will kill the 300-pound black guy. So there is such a thing called medical racism, just like you won't find Prozac in Asia. Because in places like Korea, Northern China, if you take Prozac, you die.
It doesn't. It's not. It's totally illegal there because it literally just kills
So
people.
So there is medical racism. So the but anyway, all the studies about things that are injected and all these immune whatever have to if they're not taking in consideration all these things that we just it's a one size fits all hoax.
Well, it's funny. I forgot about that when recently there was a discussion about a K-pop star who was, sentenced for a felony in Korea because they had one of these SSRIs in their possession. Now, I guess that, their ancestry not entirely Korean. So this, again, changes things. I mean, even...
Well, blood diseases, Akuli's anemia, sickle cell anemia...
They're the same thing, but...
All these other genetic traits, we're all the same, really, but we have variations.
But there are variations, but those variations that are related for a reason. And the thing is, that K-pop star got in all this trouble for having, something that would be commonly in somebody's pocket here in the United States.
Sure.
But this is deadly.
And a pharma. In other words, it was a typical pharmaceutical here, but a lethal one there.
Right, exactly. And you brought up Cooley's anemia. I bring that up all the time, too. Anyway, look, I'm gonna close this out now. And I look forward to having more discussions with you in the future. I certainly want to have another one publicly, for sure. Maybe to announce formally what it is that you did propose to me privately and then mentioned here on air, because I think we could do one of those things that I think is extremely worthwhile, which is informing people about the world around them, even if it is just that world that is within 5 feet of their reach from where the base of their body is, right? I think that is extremely effective because
And useful, no dummy load free.
Dummy load free, which is interesting. Of course, I present sometimes opposition and commentary, but like you said, it's an Abbott and Costello on occasion. But if we condense it a bit, I think it's got to be.
You got to show both sides, and what's great about both sides, they're on the same bird anyway,
Oh, there you go. The left and the right wing, it's still part of the bird.
Up and down, inside out, left, all hot and cold,
For better or worse, that's what it is. And so Uncommon Radio still exists, but Uncommon Radio.
It's just an email site. In other words, you go there and you just find the email, and I'm very easy to access.
Fair enough, and we're gonna access you a bit, and hopefully, we'll be able to. Really put out useful. See, that's the best part, is the useful stuff. Like you and I both agreed about YouTube. It is so great when you get a hold of a piece of information you need and they show it to you on a video there, right? DIY, how do you do this?
Yeah, YouTube University, man.
YouTube University, not so bad, and quite honestly, again, a lot better than the BS you might get elsewhere. So we're closing this one out. Again, thank you, Greek. I always appreciate the Greek speak, even if it takes me a little while to absorb it and fully understand it. And I'm not even saying that I always do. So there you go. But we'll get there. Anyways, the Ocelli Effect is done for tonight. No matter who you are, where you are, when you are, because most of you catch this further on down the stream via podcast, I appreciate you. And I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.